This morning we are going to continue Christmas messages about the birth of Christ and what that means to us. And I want us to look at Micah chapter 5 verse 2. And there's a song that we could have included this morning called "O Little Town of Bethlehem," but it's way high and difficult to sing, so I'm glad we didn't. But that is the title of the message this morning, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." What can we learn about God from looking at the town where Jesus was born? Yeah? Wasn't much to choose from there, huh? No, it wasn't. Let's begin with Micah 5:2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Now, I read tons of commentaries getting ready for this, and some of them said that there were thousands of little towns in Judah that were named Bethlehem. And that if Micah hadn't said Bethlehem Ephratah, then we wouldn't know which one he meant. I do know that there are still two Bethlehems in Israel today. There is Bethlehem outside of Jerusalem, which is considered the place where Jesus was born, and there is a Bethlehem of Galilee, which is north of there. So, Bethlehem means house of bread, and it was an insignificant little town among the hundreds of other towns in Judah. In fact, it was insignificant even among the towns named Bethlehem, except for one thing. This was where the Messiah was to be born. And the word Ephratah means fruitful. And you can see a lot of symbolism in that. The house of bread that is fruitful. Now, there are other meanings to the word Bethlehem. There are meanings in the Arabic and meanings in the Old Syriac, meanings in a lot of different other languages. But we're looking at the Hebrew meaning. And the Hebrew meaning was house of bread. House of bread. And this shows us some things about the heart of God. For one thing, he was not looking for the famous town or the famous people to do his work. He could have chosen Rome, which was the political center of the world at that time. And word of the birth of Jesus would have spread rapidly if he had chosen Jesus to be born, if he had chosen Rome for the birth of the Messiah. But Jesus was not coming to be a political leader. Jesus was coming to be a Savior. He could have chosen Athens. And ancient Athens was the intellectual center of the world back in those days. And the philosophers and intellectuals of the world met and lived in Athens, and they spent all day long discussing the issues of life the meaning of life and philosophies of men. And yet God was not sending the Messiah to simply start another philosophy. He could have chosen Jerusalem. Jerusalem could have easily been where the Savior was born. Jerusalem was the religious center of the Jews. It was where the Jewish temple was located. The Jews from all over the world made annual pilgrimages to Jerusalem for the holy days. It would have been easy to have Jesus born on a holy day in Jerusalem and have word of his birth spread quickly throughout the entire Jewish world. And then as they returned home to wherever their dispersion led them, word of his birth would have spread quickly throughout the world. But that wasn't God's plan either. He could have chosen Alexandria, Egypt, the largest library in the world at that time was in Alexandria, Egypt. It was what we might think of as the research center of the world. When people wanted to know things, today we look up things on Google. Back in those days, they had to travel all the way to Alexandria, Egypt, and study through the various volumes in the library there in order to research the answers to their questions. And so people from all over the world would go to Alexandria. The very first translation of the Old Testament into the common language, which was Greek, the very first translation of the Old Testament into the Koine Common Greek was in Alexandria, Egypt. We call it the Septuagint. And the Septuagint was the common Bible of the Hebrew people in the days of Christ. When we find the Old Testament quoted in the New Testament, we find that they quoted directly from the Septuagint. It's worded exactly the same as it was in the Septuagint. And the Septuagint in that day was like the King James of our day. And we don't speak King James English. But when we quote the Bible, we often quote it in King James English. And they didn't speak the same type of Koine Greek, a little bit variant. But that's what they spoke when they quoted the Old Testament, was the Koine Greek of the Septuagint. And so Alexandria, Egypt was the research center of the world. And word of Christ's birth could have easily spread out from there. People came from all over the world to study in Alexandria, Egypt. But that wasn't God's plan. God had chosen the little town of Bethlehem in Judah. And 700 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Micah prophesied it, as we read a moment ago from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. God inspired Micah to pinpoint the site, the town, in which the Messiah would be born. Not in Rome, not in Athens, not in Jerusalem, not in Alexandria, but Bethlehem Ephrata would be the place where Jesus would be born. Bethlehem was a little sheep herder's community about 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. We believe that the priest who served at the temple in Jerusalem kept their sheep in Bethlehem, and that there were sheep herders there that were paid by the priest to take care of those sheep. Now, those were not the only sheep that were in Bethlehem, but they definitely had the sheep that were normally going to be used in sacrifices in the temple went through Bethlehem. It's interesting that the Lamb of God that would ultimately pay for the sin of the world went to Jerusalem through Bethlehem. Bethlehem reminds me of the little town of Moreno, Colorado. Moreno. You know what Moreno means? Anybody know what Moreno means? Wool. Wool. Lamb's wool. When Moreno was first developed and first became a town, it was called Buffalo. But all the buffalo died, and then they started, they brought the railroad through there, and they started shipping wool and sheep out of Moreno, and they renamed the town Moreno, and they moved it from one side of the track to the other side of the track. When I think of Bethlehem, I think of Moreno for the very reason that it used to be a sheep town. It was known for the sheep herders that lived there and who came and did business there. It was a place where wool and sheep were traded. And, you know, a lot of people have romanticized shepherding because of the stories about the shepherds in the nativity scene. But think about it, what was shepherding really like? How many of you have, you know, from here in Colorado, how many of you have worked with cattle? Is it easy? Is it romantic? It's even more difficult working with sheep because they can't defend themselves as well as cattle can. And cattle are almost helpless. Sheep are totally helpless. So if you can imagine taking care of sheep, you can imagine what this little community was like. Being a shepherd was a lot of work, just like being a cowhand is a lot of work. Hard work. In Jesus' day, shepherds were considered outcasts. They didn't often take showers. They didn't often find time to go to church or to go to the temple. Who was going to take care of their sheep while they went to the temple? They just didn't have time. They just didn't do it. They had no time to participate in those types of events. So they were considered outcasts. They had very little time to go to a temple and to worship. So they were excluded and given the cold shoulder by the religious elite of their day. a lot like some ranchers are excluded and given the cold shoulder by the religious elite of our day, because sometimes they have to get the cattle in. Sometimes the cow's in the ditch and they have to get it out before they can get to church. Did you know in the Old Testament that was one of the reasons you could break the Sabbath? Was if the ox was in the ditch. You could stay out there and work on that ox and not go to church or to the synagogue on the Sabbath if you had your ox in the ditch. You could get him out. So since Bethlehem was full of shepherds and full of sheep, it was a sheep town. And God saw this as an appropriate place for the Messiah, the Savior of the world, to be born. Why? What's the symbolism in this? What's this all about? I think it tells us some interesting things about God. For one thing, I think it reveals God's personality. I was racking my brain the other day trying to think of all of the various places where Jesus made autobiographical statements about himself. You know how many I came up with? One. Autobiographical. Matthew 11:29. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." That's autobiographical. He says, "I am meek and lowly." And his birthplace proves it. No wonder he wasn't born in Rome with its grandeur. No wonder he was not born in Athens with its intellectual superiority. No wonder he wasn't born in Jerusalem with its Pharisaical traditions. No wonder he wasn't born in Alexandria with its proud library. He was born in Bethlehem, where the stinky outcast of the world hang out. Bethlehem reveals God's primary concern. His major concern was for the needy, for the hurting, for the person who is experiencing difficulty. And if we're truly following Jesus, those are the people that will be our primary concern. Those who are weeping and aching and discouraged are the ones that we will try to help. Those that are despised and rejected will be the ones that we have the most concern for. Following Jesus means going to the Bethlehems of this world. It means going where the outcasts live. It means surrounding ourselves with people who are hurting. Jesus told his disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And if we're not fishers of men, we're not following very close. If we are disciples of Jesus, we will follow him closely. And where is he going? To those in need, to the shepherds who are the outcasts. Going to Bethlehem. To Bethlehem. So, will you go to Jerusalem, Athens, Rome, or will you go to Bethlehem? If you go to Bethlehem, nobody will see you. If you go to Bethlehem, nobody will write articles about you. If you go to Bethlehem, no one will take pictures of you. If you go to Bethlehem, no one will applaud you. That's what Bethlehem is all about. Jesus goes to the obscure little village. He goes to the hurting, insignificant people of this insignificant little town. And I'm so glad he does. Because that means he could come to me. He could come to me. He could come to where I live. And where you live. We sing that old song ever since we're children. We learned it very young. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And if you're feeling unworthy or insignificant, then you are a perfect candidate for God to visit you. There is a Bethlehem miracle that is on its way to you. If you allow Jesus to be born in your life, it will change your life forever. If you allow Jesus to come and live in you, it will change your eternal destiny. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, Jesus died for our sins, and now we can be washed in the blood of the Lamb and be on our way to heaven someday. We can be saved and have our lives redirected. Can I have a good amen? So when we think of that little town of Bethlehem, we should think of the obscure people in that obscure little village and how that even though we may be obscure, God still cares for us, for me, and for you. God loves you. God loves you. Stand with me as we close.